CliffCentral.com.
Hey, we got an intern in this morning. What's your name again? I met you outside like for 5 seconds. What's your name?
Shannon Goodchild.
That's right. That.
We do thorough research on this.
Yeah, we always pay attention. Yes. You might as well have been a serial killer. You were here waiting for us this morning, bright and early.
In the car park, chilling.
Yeah, and I just said hello, and I was rushing up the stairs to start the show and everything else. So what do you think so far? You having a good time out there watching? You're sitting with Lucas a lot of the time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, very interesting.
What have you picked up?
Well, I've seen how he produces the stuff,
mm-hmm.
and that he's not controlling all the computers, which is interesting.
Yeah. Well, we don't let him. He's too dangerous if you let him control the computers. He comes from a graphic design and advertising background. We're very nervous about that. Right. And what do you think of the show? Have you listened to us for a while?
Yeah, I've listened.
Okay.
I actually used to listen to you on 5FM still.
All right. That was years ago, though.
Yeah, I was...
You must have been 3.
Basically.
Shannon, what grade again?
10.
Grade 10.
Yes.
Okay. So you're doing work experience for today?
Yes.
What are you surprised by? That you didn't expect to see or hear when you came in this morning.
Just how quickly you guys can speak. Like, I didn't expect so much talking. Almost.
Do you think we make sense?
Mostly.
Really?
Mostly. This is great feedback. This is like great research to do.
Okay, so what are your plans for the rest of the day? What are you going to do? Hang around with Lucas the whole day? You're going to go and see what the other people here do?
Well, I've got a questionnaire that I need to fill out.
Give me the questionnaire. You got it here?
It's outside there.
Go and get it quickly.
Okay.
No, I've got some time. Got the NYDA coming in just now, but we've got some time. Bring your questionnaire. Let's get this thing out of the goddamn way. Otherwise, I know I'm going to be doing it later.
Yeah. Oh. Get some business involved there.
Yeah.
What is it? I wonder.
What, in the questionnaire?
Yeah, because...
Nah, it's the standard. Let me see that. Let me fill it. Do I have to fill it in or you fill it in?
I think it's
pages and pages.
Just 2 pages.
Okay.
She says.
Let's have a look here. What are the key skills required for this job? Now, which job are you actually apprenticing here?
Well, it's the radio host, so.
Okay, so me.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to ask me all these questions?
Yeah, just the 2 pages.
Forget about it. See, it's yours. There we go. Answer the questions. Go.
He's the one. All right.
I'm not going to do it. There's no way.
Let's see some of these questions. Does this career enable financial independence?
No.
No. What does it take to be successful in this career?
Luck. Next.
If you could have done anything differently in your career, what would it have been?
There a different career.
There we go.
Next.
Do you have any further advice?
No.
There we go.
Okay, this is good.
Simple, concise, straight to the point. What do you enjoy most about your job?
Going home.
What qualifications are required to perform the job?
None. Matric. Not even.
And then what have been the main challenges?
Waking up at 4:30 in the morning.
You see? There we go. This is simple.
Have we done all the questions? Any left?
What made you choose this career?
It was something I did between lectures at university, found out I was good at it, and didn't want to do anything in accounting or law.
And your main responsibilities and roles in your job?
Trying not to get angry with everyone all the time. Okay?
I think that's simple.
All right, done. Mm.
Informative.
So aren't you glad you came? Isn't this great?
Oh,
everyone else will be doing banks and mining companies and financial institutions, law firms. Plumbing businesses, and look at you. You're going to have the quickest. Have you already filled in some of the answers?
Yeah, it's whole. Like, she has to reflect and she has
to
prepare and she needs to write down.
Identify 2 aspects that interest you about this career, explaining your answers. This is for 4 marks. Number 1, you said meeting new and different people, exposing you to different opinions and people with humbling stories and interesting careers. Yeah, good. That's a good answer. All right.
And that's the home of it all here.
Sure.
Yeah. Some crazy people too, but...
Sometimes we just talk shit, but yes, okay, that's fine. Being on radio, playing music and knowing that people are listening to you. Conversation, well, you don't know that, and we don't play a lot of music. So you're going to have to change that answer. Summarize the key aspects of the research that you've conducted into this career in industry, providing an overview of its key components. Provide, this is her answer, provide on-air entertainment and news for locals based on the area or the country. Interact with radio audiences over the phone, in person, or on social media. Very good answer. Full points, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Construct three questions that you plan to have answered by the end of your job shadow. This is the most important.
Ooh, okay. So how many marks is that for?
3 marks.
Okay.
Number one, because there are three questions. Is this a career I'm interested in? Number two, will I be able to support myself if I go into this career? And number three, do I have the strength to go into this career?
So far, do you have you answered those for yourself? Or is it too early?
Too early.
Too early. Okay. There's still some doubt in her voice.
Who do you think is the best person to answer these questions for you here? I would say Mabali. I would say Mabali is the one you got to go to because she will actually take the time and trouble. So this is a whole thing you have to do. How many days is this project meant to take place over?
Well, we do just the job shadowing on one day. And then we're actually supposed to hand this whole booklet in tomorrow.
Okay.
With all our questions.
And who's marking it?
My LO teacher.
Who's that?
Miss Bell.
Miss Bell. All right, Miss Bell, you better give her good marks.
Oh, we also have to give our commentary of Shannon. Did she arrive on time? Was she appropriately dressed?
Just tick everything yes.
Was she respectful?
Just tick everything yes and I'll just
yeah,
say.
You'll tell me how many marks you want.
Get it out of the way. How many marks do you want there? Yeah. We'll give you full marks. Full marks?
Yes, please.
Done.
Full marks. There we go. This is easy. This is simple. This is great.
All right, now we're going to make you do things. Though. Go make me some rooibos tea with one sugar. Ben, do you want anything?
Yeah, the same, actually.
All right, two rooibos teas. Sia, do you want a cappuccino?
May I just have a haiku written in my name and honor? That's all.
All right, that's one thing you can do for Sia.
Just with mine.
And then just check with Mabali and Lucas if they need anything, too. You can go out and pretend that this is a real job. Okay? Good. Marvelous.
Yay. Thank you, Shannon.
All right, Shannon. Very
fun
nice.
Fun times.
This has been, your dad's going to be so disappointed when you tell
him
about
what she's like, what did I get myself into?
Dropped you off here this morning. He was hoping you would learn things.
At school, everyone else will be like, oh, I actually worked in an office. I had a mini desk.
They let me work the computers. And
Shannon, what did you do?
Shannon, you're going to go and say, well, it was a total waste of time. You would have been better off staying at home and pretending you'd come to visit us. Because you could really have observed us from home on your phone. You know, you just get the app, you press play, and that's the observation. It's not like we hide anything from our audience here, so you know exactly what's going on.
Ooh, let's just keep her away from the unview.
Is that today?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Who knows what Alan Ford has lined up.
Alan Ford and the unview, that's at 9 o'clock this morning. What other shows are we looking at today? We've got Tumi Shomasha.
Uh-huh.
We've got
the weekly mashup.
Unplugged and In Charge.
Absolutely, at 12. We have Wedding Central coming up at 10. Future CEOs as well. Fashion Lab, The Q. And then we have some best of repeats later on in the day.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. When we come back, it's NYDA time, the National Youth Development Agency. And we'll take your comments and your questions for them too. All you need to do is get hold of us on social media or on WhatsApp 0797482090. You can also call us on Skype, Cliff Central, one word. Yeah, baby, it's a Thursday morning, feeling good. Now, the National Youth Development Agency, I went to visit them the other day for the first time, and they've actually got an awards show, which we'll tell you about in a moment or two. But the CEO of the NYDA is here with us, Mr. Katu Ramukumba, and he is no slouch. This guy has a BCom in financial accounting. He worked with the Auditor General for some time. I mean, it's the most serious office in government, full stop.
Sure.
And then he was asked to take up the position of Chief Executive Officer of the NYDA after having acted in this position for 4 months. So he took over in May 2014. And he has been responsible, along with a very good team of people, for turning around the NYDA. So Katu, welcome. I mean, first of all, it's very nice to have you here. And you do look like someone who should be in charge of the NYDA. You know, I was very worried that we were going to get someone in here who had a tie and a suit. And I'm sure you have to dress up like that sometimes. But you look like a young guy who's got people's interests at heart. And you seem to be living an authentic kind of young person's lifestyle. Yeah. You got this cap on that says you with an exclamation. You're wearing a very nice outfit, but you look young and cool. And, you know, like sometimes we hear people use the word youth and they're old guys. So welcome.
Good morning to you and good morning to our listeners. I'm blushing actually.
You know what I mean, Mubs.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you look at presidents of youth leagues and then you look at how they look and you think there's a little bit of a disconnect. So yes, we are very happy that you definitely are young.
The work you guys do at the NYDA is serious work and you've done a tremendous job. I got to give you compliments right up front because too often people are focused on the bad. And with the NYDA, there was a lot of bad before. There were those kissing booths and all of that stuff. You remember, right? You inherited that mess. And you've turned it around. Like now there are programs that help young people get internships, take up employment. There are skills development components to what the NYDA does. You've got these awards, which we'll talk about in a moment or two. But it really is a difficult thing to do because the perception was so bad. Mm. Do you find that people are starting to change their minds about the NYDA now?
Look, I think by and large, people are starting to change their minds about the agency. But it also depends on who you speak to. What we've been able to achieve in the main in the last 3.5 years or so was to deal with the issues of governance, financial management, compliance, and performance, which is why in the last 2 years we have received clean audits from the Auditor General, but also we have achieved record performances in terms of meeting the commitments that we make to the Executive Authority, which is the Presidency, Parliament, and South Africa in general. But the reality of the situation is that we have a very limited budget. Mm. We only have about 410 million. And here you are talking about a country where some 22 million people will be below the age of 35 who in some way or the other expect some intervention from the NYDA. And if you also then take that within the context that says, if you talk about unemployment and poverty in this country, young people are in the main, the majority of those in the coalface of those challenges, the demand of what the NYDA can do far exceeds our ability to supply, which is why even today, 2 years, 3 years down the line, when we can talk clean audit, we can talk high performance, the majority of young people still say, we don't see you, we don't feel you. Yeah. And that is the truth.
It's like you've got to be everything to everybody, exactly. But you don't have endless resources.
Yeah, that's true.
You talk like an accountant, though. I mean, you talk about supply and demand, you know. These are the terms that are used by an accountant. But you, having had a background at the Auditor General, which really, I don't mean this as a slight. It's a very important part of the mechanism that's created to make sure that there's accountability and financial responsibility in spending in government. I mean, that must have taught you a lot.
Yeah.
During your time there about, because a lot of people like to see government. I had Zwelin Mkhize in here the other day and he was saying, well, people just like to use these broad brush strokes and say, there's corruption, so everyone's corrupt. Yeah. There's a department that's not doing its job, so everyone isn't doing their job. And having come from the Auditor General's department, where you have to hold these people accountable, you get to see the best and the worst.
Yeah, true. You do. Because, I mean, I was at the Auditor General when I was doing my articles for my qualifications as a chartered accountant. And, I mean, some of the audit clients that were responsible for had terrible, financial management records and all those kinds of things. So because you are almost the guy who is saying, this is the law, this is what you must do, it becomes part of you and part of what you do. And when I left the Auditor General, I started by going to Rentwater. I was a senior auditor there. Then I worked my way up to be the general manager for audit there. So again, it was within that, sphere of, looking at compliance and all that.
This is sometimes the stuff in government that people don't see that isn't glamorous. That I mean, you don't get any real perks.
Yeah.
When you're the head of Rand Water, that's not a – no one goes, oh, wow, the head of Rand Water. We've got to have him at this dinner party. You're in pictures with Fikile Mbalula. That doesn't happen at Rand Water. It's a, people basically phone you up day and night and go, we've got a water problem here. Yeah. We've got a burst pipe there. We have supply problems here. The water's dirty. There's bacteria in this tank. It's horrible work.
Yeah, it is. But, you know, it really makes the difference. Because
hell yes, because if we open the tap and we don't die, that's a good thing.
Of course. But, you know, also, when I joined the NYDA, I started as a chief financial officer. And you know, there was a lot that we were dealing with. I mean, at that time when I walked in there, we were talking about irregular expenditure of about 133 million, you know, against a budget of what, 370 million, which was quite a significant amount. So by the time I left to take up the position of CEO, we had already dropped that to about 16 million. And then in my first year in office as CEO, we were able to take it down to 500,000. And today we are reporting zero irregular expenditure. So it does help. That experience,
you know,
does help.
I don't. I have high standards. I think a lot of people in this country have high standards for government. So by no means is this faint praise or an expectation, like a soft, low expectation from anyone. I got to tell you, that is an unbelievable achievement to be able to say not only clean audits, but that you have every cent accounted for, that you guys are trying to put the money in all the right places. I think this is what we need to spread the news about. Like, more people should know that there are departments and agencies within government that are functioning well. Yeah. And I'm proud of that. I'm really proud of that. That's what we pay taxes for.
And especially when every other day, all you'll hear in the news headlines is how X department has, you know, lost X amount of million because of X, you know, irregular expenditure. That's all we keep hearing from the news, is how badly departments are run. So when they are being run well, it's nice to hear.
It feels good. It's like when you find out that your brother or your sister have passed their exam, or you hear that your aunt has just got a really good job or something like that. It's the good news that doesn't travel far.
True.
But it makes you feel good when you hear it. And we should be spreading this around. That's also why I wanted to talk to you. Now, tell me about these awards that are happening in Centurion.
Look, we are hosting the South African Youth Awards. The idea of the awards really is to tell the untold stories of young people who are, you know, defying the odds out there and, you know, making something of their lives and helping us to build a better communities and a better country and a better world, so to speak. So the idea has been to go out there and find those inspirational stories. Here we're talking about stories of, you know, a guy who probably, you know, lost both parents, you know, basically, the future was dark. There was no light at the end of the tunnel. But, you know, maybe he focused on education and ended up becoming a scientist, a doctor or something. You know, you're talking about a self-made hustler, you know, somebody who, even though they never got finance from any government development finance institute or even, you know, from the commercial banks, but, you know, they went out there, hustled, pursued a dream, and they're successful entrepreneur. The main idea is to say that because the context of our country is that many young people are in conditions which you can call destitute. And there's so much hopelessness amongst young people, is to then lift those stories and put them up there and say, here's someone who was on similar circumstances as you, or even worse, but they made something out of their life. So it's possible, it can be done.
It's amazing when someone sees an example of somebody who looks like them, who's come from their situation, who's made it. It gives them not just hope, but it gives them an ability to start changing their own lives in very practical ways.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe that's probably the most valuable work anyone can do. And I know lots of young black entrepreneurs. I met many of them last year. We took a trip to Silicon Valley. These are some of the smartest people I've met, who come from sometimes very difficult and arduous circumstances, who've built up businesses with no help, on their own. And they're doing very well. And I think that when we spread these stories around and we show people what is possible, then we can stop making excuses also as a country. I don't by any means say, you know, someone whose story is genuinely one of suffering, that they should just suck it up. But it is amazing how when you get your head right and you go, look, it's up to me, amazing things can happen.
True. And really that's what we want to do, because part of what we want to do is to say to these winners, if you have won, say, for example, in the category of sports, how can we work with you for you to go and do a community development project within that particular field? If you have won within the entrepreneurship category, how can we go to some rural area, some township, and, you know, work with you to then assist young people either to form themselves into a cooperative, help them start some kind of a business, whether it be chicken, selling chickens, breeding, growing chickens.
We've got a guy here who's got a rabbit farm. We want to talk to you about him afterwards. He's not a youth anymore, but we're still willing to try.
Yeah. So you know, that's what we want to try and do. But the main idea is to say, look, let's lift these stories. Let's create hope out there that it can be done.
What kind of, when we talk about the youth, I mean, do you have a cutoff age?
Yeah. Look, the youth is defined.
Some of us like to imagine that we're still youth, even though we're...
This is always a contentious topic, because, you know, you like the idea of being young, and then you find out that, you're past the cutoff.
Yeah. So, for our purposes, the Act defines youth as between the ages of 14 and 35.
Okay.
And obviously, the offerings will differ. I mean, for business interventions, you can only be assisted at least when you're 18 and above.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, for educational aspects, health and well-being, and many other, you know, developmental interventions, we start at 14.
What kind of restructuring did you guys do at the NYDA when you took over?
Look, when I took over as CEO, I made a proposal to the board at the time that the manner in which we're structured is not speaking to the changes that the organization has gone through. My main concern was that having been an executive there for 2.5 years as a CFO, there was lack of defined roles. And you would remember that the agency was formed through a merger of the Youth Commission and the Umsombo Youth Fund. And that merger was governed through, I think it's section 197 or 196 of the Labor Relations Act, which says that no employee must find themselves in a worse of position than they were before the merger happened. So you would find that if there was a finance manager on the other organization, there's another financier, they just found a way of bringing the two together and still keep them. So there was a bit of mismatch and other things.
And probably some duplication.
Duplication as well, of course. So what we sought to do, but also the organization had transitioned from what the Umsombo used to be to the new mandate and everything else, but the structure had not followed that. But there were other concerns as well, you know, issues of bureaucracy, red tape, inefficiencies, lots of inefficiencies, processes, systems, which were slowing down, you know, service delivery. But also, I acknowledged that some criticism that was there, that the agency spending too much on itself, was a valid criticism, high salary bill and all those kinds of things. So I then proposed that let them give me the mandate to develop a turnaround strategy, present it to them, to the presidency, to parliament, and if they agree, let's implement this thing. We developed it, we submitted to them, they agreed with it, the presidency agreed with it, parliament agreed with it, they gave us the go-ahead.
Isn't it amazing how, like, in most companies, you obviously are accountable to the board as the CEO, but that's it. You are accountable to the board, the president, the parliament. I mean, you must spend a lot of your time explaining what you guys are up to.
Yeah.
You've got a lot more checks and balances than any other CEO.
True, because every quarter we must report to the presidency.
So you go to the union buildings?
We make submissions, and then they would call us if there's anything. But a standard thing is that every quarter we must go to parliament and account that I go to parliament.
What's more scary, going to the president or going to parliament? What's more terrifying? Which one worries you more?
It depends on the agenda.
So in parliament, do you present to a standing committee, a portfolio committee?
Yeah, we present to the standing committee on public service and administration, which is also responsible for its DPSA, its States SA, its
So who's the minister that you guys fall under then?
Minister Jeff Khadebe in
Jeff
the presidency.
Khadebe. Okay.
Yes. And then Deputy Minister Butimane Mela.
Right.
Who, by and large, the minister has given him the, you know, day-to-day oversight, so to speak, of the agency's operations. But, you know, the most proud thing I am of the restructuring program is that we were decisively able to reduced the salary bill from 189 million to just about 144 million. So some 34 million savings from the salary bill, right?
And then that can go into programs.
Programs. Yeah. That's what we've done now. But over and above that, one of the things that we sought to address was that the organization was wrongly structured. You had more people sitting at head office than people sitting in the nine provinces. Mm. And I mean, head office for all intents and purposes is a corporate office. There's no real youth development that happens there. So we turned around the organization such that it became a lot more, you know, smaller at the top, and it broadens at the bottom, which then assisted us to save those salary costs. But over and above that, I mean, we ended up finding ourselves in a situation where the building that we were housed in, where we spend about 1.1 million every month on just, you know, overheads and whatever, we were able to find a much smaller building, which will be moving on.
So the building I came to, what was it, 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Are you guys moving
out of that? We're moving out of that building. We're moving to a new building.
But it's also in the middle of nowhere.
Like, yeah. So
I couldn't find it. I had to drive around for... did you find it easily? It's kind of on its own, right?
Yeah.
It is.
You must feel isolated there.
Yeah. So we're moving. We're moving to a building.
What are you laughing at, Mark?
Just picturing you and Sia, like, getting lost.
Going around.
Getting frustrated, trying to find this place. Well, I can just see it.
I heard the new buildings in prime real estate.
Yeah, it's
but it's going to cost you less.
It's going to cost us less. We're going to be spending about 434,000 there a month, which means that we are looking at saving about 7 million again. And I mean, you talk about other overheads.
Shouldn't you be the next finance minister? I mean, if Gelinigis is going to get rid of Praveen, I'm okay if it's you who steps in.
Yeah.
I really don't have a problem. Guy like you, cost cutting makes me feel good.
Yeah. Makes everyone feel good.
Yeah. So, I mean, on general overheads, we're going to be.
What do you like with your own budget? I'm just curious. Are you a married man?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you are you very strict about what gets spent in the household?
I'm an accountant, Gary. Yeah.
Well,
so
what a horrible life. Your poor wife must have the most terrible life. She's like, I'm going to go shopping today. You're like, no, you're not. Where are those slips? Give me the slips.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, but I mean, you were shopping last month, so okay.
How much clothing could you possibly need?
Exactly.
Colors, yeah. Match, everything.
And Katu, when it comes to the projects and the programs that you guys are involved with, can you tell me some of the success stories that illustrate to people who might not know what the NYDA does yet? Just one or two actual examples of people who you've been able to help, people you've been able to assist in advancing themselves.
Look, I think you know, one of the challenges that the agency had faced in the past, I just want to give context to the question, to the answer of the question that we've given, was that with the limited budget, the agency in the past still attempted to be everything to young people. So at one point in the beginning, the agency would have tried to do something in health and well-being, skills development, entrepreneurship, and so forth. So the agency spread itself way too thin, such that impact was not, you know, really realizable, because there was a chase of the numbers. So you touch so many young people, but mainly on awareness projects that don't really change the people's life. So what we've tried to do in the last 3.5 years or so was to narrow the focus. We previously then said, okay, looking at the challenges of unemployment and poverty, the main causes are that young people are either not properly educated or they're relevantly educated in relation to what the economy needs. So they can't access those opportunities. So we then decided to focus on education and skills development. In that space, we have created a program called the Sulu Mahlangu Scholarship Fund, where you have a variety of young people who ordinarily would not have been able to access university education. But in a year, we're able to take about 500 students and take them to university through a scholarship, fully funded scholarship fund. You know, and we have a relationship with all universities in South Africa. So there are many stories there of
individuals. Did you get a bit more budget? Because I know government are very, very focused on higher education, especially in the light of what happened last year on campuses. Did they pass any of that budget on to you guys?
No, not really. The main focus has been on NSFAS, you know, as the main government vehicle for to address our education funding.
If you weigh up you versus NSFAS, who does a better job?
I'm not going to go there.
comment.
I'm just saying, maybe it should have gone to you.
But you see, Gareth, last year, we funded a group of cooperatives in the Limpopo province who were growing kidney beans, tomatoes, and butternuts. And we are proud to say today that four of those cooperatives that we have funded.
How many did you fund originally? Six.
Yeah. But we funded about eight. Okay. Eight of those. Four of those have now been adopted by Tiger Brands and TechnoServe. So they've actually taken over a particular number of hectares where those young people are only growing specifically for supply of those particular young people, companies. So those are some of the stories that we want to do more of. So
I think a lot of people are focused on the professions, and what we really need in this country is people who have skills and people who can do some of the stuff that doesn't require huge qualifications and, you know, massive expertise. I mean, this is just farming. And empowering small industry, this is to me more important in some ways than having more lawyers churned out by universities.
Look, I mean, I am so happy. I'm not the only person who sees it, and unfortunately, in our country today, still, in 2017. Young people still believe that you must go to school, get a degree, and get a better job, which is highly unfortunate. But I think what is more said is that the manner in which we view vocational training and technical training in South Africa works against us as a country, because
we seem to think it's the second best or third best option.
If you are studying at an FET, it means you are a failure. You couldn't achieve university education, entrance, therefore.
And the reality is that some plumbers earn more than lawyers.
That's where the future of this country is.
And electricians and people who can fix sprinkler systems and people who can grow kidney beans.
Yeah. Look, I mean.
And they're going to be the ones who save us if the zombies come.
Yeah.
You know?
Whatever that is. But the whole point that I'm trying to get at is you look at the NDP, right? Vision 2030. You look at everything else that has been put around it, the Presidential Infrastructure Coordination Commission and everything else. Government intends to spend over $1 trillion between now and 2030 on infrastructure development. What is infrastructure development? It's roads.
Yeah.
It's, you know, pipelines and whatever. Welders. It's plumbers. You don't have to go and import those skills from, you know, foreign countries like we did with the World Cup stadiums and the highway development projects and other things. We can get young South Africans to be the ones who do that. But we have not gone beyond that understanding that in debt there is money, in debt there is wealth. You know, all of us wants to put on a tie and go sit at a corner office, which is highly unfortunate.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot more that can be done in that particular space, which is why also we have now turned our focus on two areas. I mean, for this financial year, we have said that we're further narrowing down and we're letting education go. We're handing over like second chance matric right to basic education. We'll continue doing the scholarship maybe for a year or two with intention of handing it over to NSFAS, because what we've introduced in our model of the scholarship is that we're going beyond just funding, because we know that 47.9% of young people who goes into the first year of university do not come out at the end of the 3 years. So we need to then address, some issues around varsity education. So we've introduced programs within the scholarship fund, like, you know, a linkage with psychiatrists, social workers, so that if a person who's on the scholarship fund, if they have a problem, whether it be they're not coping, whatever,
so important.
Then, you know, they can call someone.
I'm so
speak
happy that,
to them.
I'm so happy someone's doing something about this, because, I mean, you know, the social welfare department or the Department of Social Development, they're kind of wrapped up in the SASSA crisis at the moment, and obviously they try to do these things too. We don't hear enough about them either. But I think there's so much damage to young people at an early age because of family problems, because of abuse problems, because of a lack of parental guidance or the absence of the parents because the parents have died or something terrible has happened. These are the root causes of all the things that lead to much bigger problems later on.
And it's an important aspect to address, because even if you can argue for free education, which I believe is a right calling, because education is important, it doesn't help us saying all these matriculants who pass, let's fund all of them, when we know that half of them will not even come out on the other side, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's 50% investment where there will not be return on investment. We need to address this.
The accountant issues. Again.
Exactly. So that we increase the rate of return on this investment that we're making. So those are some of the things that we're doing. And of course the idea, as I say, once we've perfected this thing, we'd like to hand it over to NSFAS. But what our key focus now is, on skills development. And part of the reason why we feel that skills development must be prioritized is that statistics tells us, Gareth, that every year about 1.1, 1.2 million children enters grade 1. But when you trace them to the time that they sit for grade 12 examination, only 500,000 will sit. It tells you that about 700,000 kids are being lost within the basic education system.
What are some of the reasons that these kids are lost? What happens to them?
Look, I think we need to conduct research to have empirical evidence. There will be a number of reasons, you know, parents' involvement in the education's child, in certain instances, with the advent of HIV and AIDS, you know, many young parents are leaving kids by themselves. You find that there are a lot of childless households. Mm-hmm. If the choice of going to school or finding an odd job to put food on the table. So there's a variety, but I think it's an area which I think for basic education, there is just cause to commission a research to try and understand why we're losing so much students within the schooling system. But the point is, for us, that is year in, year out, you are adding that about 600,000 or so into, you know, a community of the hopelessness, hopeless, so to speak. No education, no skill. You are locked out of the economy of South Africa. So what we'll try to do is to try and focus on those. So you will see that, for example, this year we'll be focusing on things like plumbing, welding, construction and so on, so that when we teach these young people these things, they don't necessarily need to have had a matric or whatever. It's talent that they can use.
You know, even if you end up being a lawyer one day or a doctor or something, being able to actually sort out your own geezer, or being able to figure out what's going on with the electrical board in your house. These are things we should all know.
True.
Because you, first of all, you save yourself some money. And second of all, if you are falling on hard times and maybe you get laid off, you've got another skill that you can go out there and
peddle. Exactly.
Yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I'm very, very impressed with what I've seen and heard about the NYDA in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
And I wish you luck. It's good work that you guys do. It's important. It's essential to the development of this country and where young people are going. We've got more young people than we have old people, and more of them are unemployed than in many countries in the world. We've got to figure a way out of this. And if the NYDA isn't going to help us solve that problem, I don't know who will.
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think one of the things that must be re-emphasized about to young people is that we must begin to change our mindsets to think of being employers as opposed to being employees. And, a lot of graduates even who are sitting at home, they've not been employed for 3 years. They just need that refocus, because what they know, they can do so much to help build a better economy and grow this economy if they change their mindset from saying, I must find a job, to, can I create something? The future of the world economy is even moving more towards, social entrepreneurship. You know, simple things. I mean, take Uber for an example. I mean, solving problems of society where people have to move to a taxi rank to find transport and be dropped somewhere and still walk 5 more, minutes, 10 more minutes, you can be picked up wherever you are and be put wherever you are. Those
those are easy social challenges that people are facing. You could find, you know, old ladies in rural villages who have to travel 5-10 kilometers to go get, you know, medication for diabetes every Monday of the month, whatever the case may be. You can start some business about, you know, bicycles. You collect it for them, you know, that kind of a thing. We have just, launched a project with the city of Ekurhuleni and Buddy Box, where we are also trying to, you know, take advantage of these things. Where in the Ekurhuleni metropolitan, these young people will have technology. They will come to you, to your house. What are your grocery requirements? You give them their grocery requirement. They will use tuk-tuk vehicles. They will have established wholesales centers. Oh, they go and they collect your grocery requirements, they bring it to you, you just swap your card. You don't have now to worry about rushing from work early so that you can pass by a grocery store to get
sounds
your groceries.
Sounds good, right, Mubs? I would use this.
So you know, those are the kind of thing we're saying. There's so much that young people can do.
Well, listen, anything we can do to help, we're here. And I want to introduce you to a couple of the people who I've been working with too, just really, really smart entrepreneurs of the kind that you've spoken of, whose stories should be told. And maybe they could serve also as examples to other young people you're trying to reach.
Yeah. No, we appreciate the support. And we want more of entrepreneurs, and even not necessarily entrepreneurs, professionals in the business space to join our mentorship program, which is now also online, so you can engage without necessarily having to meet with a young person face to face. Just hear what this young person's challenges are in running a business, and we'll provide advice online.
I really appreciate you coming to see us. Good luck with the Youth Awards.
Thank you very much for having
us. And let us know what those stories are, because we'll help spread the word.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, there we go. National Youth Development Agency and Katuchelo Ramukumba, the CEO, who came in this morning to share some of the stories with us, the incredible turnaround of that organization. And I think one of the organizations in this country that really does deserve our full support, because they're doing amazing work with the people who will be the future and who will decide the things that we need to be deciding in the interim. The most powerful demographic in South Africa, young people. So we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 in the morning. Let me wrap it up with some unnews, and you can listen to The Unview coming up just after this with Alan Stutlama Fetle Fetle Ford. That's his name. What do you mean? Isn't that his name?
It's your name for him.
Oh, it's his name. Al, you're upset by that. It's your name. Stutlama Fetle Fetle.
I'm upset that you said our voices were very bad this week. I heard about it.
Oh, did you hear my clip?
So upset.
It's the truth.
Oh, just another day here, honestly.
You were singing Bonnie Tyler. Do you really expect me to appreciate that? And that's an offense to every human being that's ever lived. All right, let's wrap it up. Here's what you need to know this morning in order to start your day properly, okay? The Gupta PR company has had a very busy day. Not only did they have to fabricate a security report about Pravin Gordhan going to London in an attempt to overthrow the government, but they also had to write a column about finance for Faith Mutambi. The interns took care of the security report in a few hours, but apparently all the senior staff of the company had to put their heads together through the night for the Mutambi piece to make it look remotely believable. In other news, the body of a 25-year-old missing man in Indonesia has been found. It was found inside a python, which again proves that if you want to know how insignificant we are as humans, just go and live in a rural area where everything is trying to kill you. And finally, a bust of Cristiano Ronaldo at the airport of Madeira Airport, the airport now named after the football star, has caused quite a stir. Ronaldo put on a brave face at the unveiling, but insiders say that he's furious at how the artists failed to capture his likeness. It was Lionel Messi's first attempt at creating a sculpture, though, so it's perhaps a little harsh to judge him too severely. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. The Unview is next. CliffCentral.com.